Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. I am Meg LaPelle and it is my honor to introduce to you today Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. The topic that we chose for today's discussion is called something rather interesting, Enlightened Self-Interest. This show is about what Sister Denise calls conventional morality. We ask people to look at their personal standards by which they live and to ask yourself the simple question, does who you are and what you've been thus far work for you right now? We ask you to look at your own sense, of standards, your ethics, your morals, and to see whether it has any place in current day life and whether it's something that you should discard in favor of something better. Bearing all these questions in mind, we will ask Sister Denise to enlighten us on this subject further. Thank you so much, Sister Denise, for joining us.
Thank you.
A very warm welcome to today's show. Enlightened self-interest is a very unusual topic. Could you tell us, as a starting point, how would you define it?
There is a belief that you can do things for others. And what spirituality says is, okay, you do something for someone, but you will be benefited probably more than they. So the law of karma, we come back to that again and again, says that if you do something beneficial for someone, it will be beneficial for you, and that that person may or may not be able to make good use of the benefit that you have done for them. So conventional morality says that self-interest is bad. Self-interest means you're egotistical, you're selfish, you're doing it for yourself only at the expense of other people, and that is very often the case. But what spirituality says is when you think that you're being altruistic and doing things not for yourself but only for other people, you are actually deceiving yourself. So enter the idea of enlightened self-interest. Enlightened self-interest means that you're very aware that whatever you do is beneficial for yourself, and so you calculate that you make sure that you're not doing something that's against your self-interest, no doubt. But if you're doing something for yourself that is not beneficial for somebody else, but harmful for somebody else, then that is actually, in the end, going to be harmful for you. So enlightened self-interest is a term that I think is a very useful one for people to start using, and to come out of the illusion that I'm doing something for anyone. Each person, and this is a law of spirituality, whatever you do, you are going to get the result of it. So that means we have to be very, very conscious of who am I, who do I belong to, what am I doing, what am I going to do in that case. Who do I belong to means I, as a soul, belong to God, the Supreme Soul, and therefore what I do needs to correspond with the wisdom of God. Otherwise, I'm going to be doing something without consciousness of who I am and what I am. So enlightened self-interest means that I'm going to really be aware that everything I do is going to be good for me, but I also have to be aware that while being good for me, it also needs to be good for everyone else. And there's another spiritual law that comes into this, which is quite interesting. So it is also said that when you raise yourself, when you make yourself a more elevated person operating on the basis of higher principles and so on, this, what you're doing for yourself, also actually raises everybody else. And this is really the principle that we try to live by in the teachings of Raja Yoga and as Brahma Kumaris Kumaris. When you lower yourself, you actually pull everybody else down too.
Sure.
So everything depends on the self. That means we need to be very focused on the self. And this goes counter to conventional morality, which says you shouldn't think about yourself. You should only think about others, you know. And because of that idea, another thing happens, which is people are able to do guilt tripping on you. You know this expression, guilt tripping? Make you feel guilty. Oh, you're so selfish. Don't be selfish. Because you've been trained. Focusing on the self is bad. So if you do anything which is beneficial for yourself, by moral terms, you're automatically bad. So if you want to educate yourself, that's selfish. You know, if you want to become a better person, that's selfish. So they will discourage you from doing the right thing.
So, do I understand you correctly? Is self-respect synonymous with enlightened self-interest? Or is it two, spiritual self-respect? Is it two separate things?
I think that when you perform actions for the result of enlightened self-interest or in enlightened self-interest, it is because you have self-respect, you know. So they're not synonymous, but they're definitely contiguous.
Contiguous. It's a nice word, contiguous. So if somebody has just embarked on this journey and they're looking at themselves with a view to improving their relationship with the law of karma, and with themselves and with people, what is the starting point?
The starting point is to think about the self, what am I, who am I, and to consider this idea that what you are is an eternal soul, you're a spirit, and you will be with yourself forever. You will always be you. You may, you know, express yourself in a multitude of different ways. You will go through time, but you will still be you, and everything that you do comes with you. Every seed that you sow produces fruit that you will have to eat. So you need to understand all these laws of spirituality that go along with that, and then that is going to make your reason for doing what you do change. Because in the materialist paradigm, which is the base of conventional morality, the reason what you do, why you do what you do, is mostly to please the other people, to get their approval, and to conform. And that will very often make you do karma, which is actually against your best interests, but very good for the other people, temporarily.
How does one then manage the resistance that you get from years of conditioning that says you're being selfish? Because that will be part of the challenge that you face when you embark on the path that you just described. How do you deal with internal resistance that says you're being selfish because of the voices of the people that you've internalized? And how do you deal with external resistance?
Well, the big problem is doubt, you see, because you say, okay, now I understand spirituality, I understand the laws of karma, but then all these other things will come up and you'll have doubt. And then you may go back to where you were before, you see, because recidivism is powerful. You will go back to doing what you did before. Once you start and you embark upon a course of spiritual practice, it's new. You don't have necessarily the samskaras of doing that. It's different, you see. But what you've been doing before is very set, and the groove is deeply worn, and you like to go according to your old patterns. So you have to really do powerful meditation so that you get enough inner strength to go against your own inner current.
Is somebody who's spiritually enlightened, do they care about themselves more than someone who's not? Because the level of energy and effort that you're just describing seems to be quite intense and quite focused, and it requires conscientiousness, it requires work, years of work. You've been doing this for 40 years. So, is that what it takes? Is it self-care?
I think you have to have a commitment to yourself and a commitment to being that which makes you really, truly respect yourself and honor yourself. Many people, they just go with the flow. They do whatever is prescribed to them, and they lead a life where they don't really feel to take so much responsibility for themselves. There's many different levels on which you do this, but even if you do a little bit, it's going to be to your advantage.
What would be the motivation, Denise? What does one get out of it, out of being having self-interest?
Enlightened self-interest.
Okay.
Enlightened self-interest means that
What do you get out of it?
What you get out of it is you become who you really are, you see. And I think inside, within a person, there is this urge, I really want to be true to myself. I really want to understand who I am and what I am and be that. This is an inner urge. And if that urge is really strong, you will follow that. You will be internally compelled to take care of yourself. And if that urge is not there, then you wouldn't. So I think people vary enormously in these ways.
Mm. Would you say that you become stronger, you become wiser, or yeah, I'm just trying to see the benefits, because somebody can have self-interest, but it has nothing to do with spirituality.
So that is unenlightened self-interest.
Ah, okay, and that's something completely different.
That's very different. That's, okay, who wants to be a millionaire? Me, you know, I want to be a millionaire, and I don't care how many people I have to squash in the process.
Somebody who becomes a neurosurgeon has academic self-interest or career self-interest.
Definitely.
Okay. Now you're talking about the self-interest where the person looks at himself and says, what I am doesn't work for me anymore, I want to become something better.
Well, you gave the example of neurosurgeon. A person, man or woman, decides, I want to be a neurosurgeon. Of course, you cannot be a neurosurgeon. That's, in a sense, a false identity. You can earn your living as a neurosurgeon, you know, performing the activity of neurosurgery. But what I'm talking about is I want to be a self who is doing everything possible to make the self the best self that I can be. Now, I cannot, I can be a very good neurosurgeon, but that may be at the expense of some parts of myself. So that would be a limited self-interest. But what I'm trying to do here is more of an unlimited self-interest, where all the different parts of the self are taken care of, knowing that this is really what is going to cause maximum human benefit.
So internal conflict, I'm just seeing the conflict that this is going to cause inside somebody, because they'll need to invest an inordinate amount of energy to become the person you've just described. Okay, how does one go to the... okay, Sister Denise, let me put my question this way. Tell us about the practical things that one has to do or be to be somebody of enlightened self-interest. Not just the theory, not just the words, the practical things. What is it you wake up in the morning and you do what? And you think what?
Practical means any situation, whatever is your life situation, that's your practical reality.
Mm.
You wake up in the morning, you need to give time to yourself to take energy for the day. You need to meditate.
Okay, start off the day with meditation.
Okay. You may meditate collectively or you may meditate individually, whatever it is, but you need to give time for yourself. You need to study. Because that's your food for thought for the day, you see. So if you can create a discipline in your day where you start with study and meditation and then you get yourself ready for your active day, your work day as it were, and you have a plan, I'm going to do this, this, this and this, and you want to feel productive and get somewhere and get something done, and then you finish your work day, then you have your social time, your time with your family, you know, the evening is very often reserved for that. So if you have a balanced life, but yet at every step you're looking at yourself, is what I am doing producing the result that I'm after? You see, because on a daily basis...
Sorry, can I interrupt you? What is the result that you are after?
To be the very best me that I can be. So that means a lot of introspection, but whatever your situation is, you know, most people, they have a job, they have a family, they have a house, you know, they have duties, extended family, some social work that they do, you know, you have to see what you want to accomplish, and if you have the personal wherewithal to get that done so that everything in your life is balanced, you see. Because you have to deal with your existing situation. And within that situation, what can you do on in terms of your inner work so that you are really growing yourself regardless of the situation, within the context of any situation? You may be a solitary person, you may be a family person, you may be a government official, whatever it happens to be, you have a context where you have duties, responsibilities, privileges and whatnot. Within that, work with yourself to become the very best you that you can be.
Hmm. It sounds very ambitious. If somebody is feeling a general feeling of contentment, does that mean his work is done? You can now say, I've arrived. If you're content, or if they're always at harmony inside themselves and with the people outside, is that the sign that the work is done? How do you know that you've arrived?
Contentment is a very important sign. And of course, each and every person has a different destination. You mentioned the word ambitious, you know, which means, you know, you have to go from somewhere to somewhere very far. There may be someone who has to go from somewhere to somewhere not so far. It really is a very individual thing, and this is why I think you have to really understand yourself and your destiny. If you have a destiny that's very high, it'll pull you, and then you'll be, you know, compelled internally to do what you have to do in order to get there, because otherwise there'll be a feeling of dissatisfaction and discontent, which will be the indicator, no, you still need to pay attention to this, 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 and your conscience will let you know what it is you need to do in order to get where you have to go.
What is your destiny?
It's quite difficult to pinpoint it, but you can identify some attributes of it quite well. I think you look inside of yourself and you ask yourself the question, and when you give yourself an answer, if it feels right, it probably is right. You know, I remember someone said to me years ago, well, you know, you have to justify your life. What are you going to do? So I said, you know, well, you know, just get married, have children, you know, do this kind of thing. And then as I was saying this, I felt, no, I'm not telling the truth. And this also made me think, you know, okay, well, in that case, what is the truth? And it was really around that time that I started to feel, no, I must follow the spiritual path because it's calling, and I need to think about that and see if that is my destiny. And subsequently I have felt, yes, definitely it is that. Definitely it is to do with education, to educate people in the realities of spiritual laws and spiritual qualities and so on. I feel very motivated to, you know, leave the world a better place than what I found it, and to give my time and energy to that. I feel very motivated to try to work, you know, as an instrument of God as far as possible, or as an instrument of what God stands for. So my destiny would be along those lines, you see, and then you just keep going, and as you go, things open up, and your roadway, you know, you can meet different crossroads, and then you see, well, am I supposed to take this road, this road, this road? Where am I supposed to go? And whenever you find yourself at a crossroads in your life, you have to really think, okay, who am I and where am I having to go now? And I think that it's a very intuitive thing, and you feel it from a very deep place, and then you go with that.
Mm. Okay.
At least that's what I've always done.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of today's show. So, Sister Denise has taken up the fascinating topic of enlightened self-interest, and she started off and ended on the note of the fact that in the world we live in today, people are deceived into thinking that to be interested in yourself is a vice, that one should be thinking about others. But she says that that's not the way to be, because it will, you'll invariably end up paying a very heavy price for that decision. And she encourages that every individual looks at their lives and see to what do they want to. It's not about doing. This is what I liked about today's talk. It's not about what you achieve on the outside. It's about who you are on the inside, what type of person you want to be, what is your relationship with God, what are your own virtues, your own value system, and how you can improve that. That's the essence of today's message, which is great. I hope that you were able to take something from this today's talk that is applicable to your life, and I hope that you'll be able to put it into practice and see an improvement in your life. Thank you for joining us today, and good day to you.